Because at the age of 20 is when you can be ordained as a fully ordained monk. And it's also the time when you're up for the military draft as well in Thailand. So that oftentimes this is very much the case where they wait and see, am I drafted? Do I go into the military? Do I become a monk for a period of time? So this next section. Ajahn Chah's name was missing from the list of young men from Ubon called up for national service. He was now free to ask for admission into the monkhood. But by this time, his ideas about becoming a monk had changed. He no longer considered it simply in terms of making merit for his parents, an expression of the gratitude he felt towards them. These were certainly noble aims, but he desired something more, something that could resolve the dis-ease in his heart. Lay life seemed hollow and tedious. Perhaps the monastic life could lead him to meaning and peace. He decided to become a monk for an indefinite period. His mother and father were pleased. They had enough children to help with the farm work, and it was auspicious to have a son in robes. The admission ceremony took place on the 26th of April, 1939, at Wat Khao Nai, the local monastery. Prakrut Indisarakun was Ajahn Chah's preceptor and conferred on him the monk's name of Subhuto, which means well-developed. Ajahn Chah spent the first 2 years of his monastic life at Wat Khao, in his home village, studying the teachings, and he retook the first level of monastic studies, Nak Tham Tri, which is, he would have done that as a novice as well. And then he gives a him speaks himself. When I first became a monk, I didn't train myself, but I had faith. Maybe I was born with it, I don't know. At the end of the rains retreat, the monks and novices who joined the Sangha at the same time as me, all disrobed. I thought, what's wrong with them? But I didn't dare to say anything, because I still didn't trust my own feelings. My friends were excited at leaving, but to me, they seemed foolish. I considered how difficult it was to enter the Sangha and how easy to disrobe. I thought how lacking in merit they must be to look on the worldly path as more beneficial than that of Dhamma. That's how I looked at it, but I said nothing. I kept my thoughts to myself. I'd watch my fellow monks and novices come and go. Sometimes before disrobing, they try on their lay clothes and parade up and down. I thought they were completely insane, but they thought they looked good, that their clothes were smart, and they talked about the things they were going to do after they disrobed. I didn't dare to tell them that they'd got it all wrong, because I didn't know how long my own faith would last. After my friends disrobed, I became resigned. You're on your own now, I said to myself, pulled out my copy of the Patimokkha, which are the 227 training rules of the monk, which many of us will tend to memorize and then recite fortnightly to the community. Pulled out my copy of the Patimokkha and started to memorize it. It was easier than before with nobody teasing me or fooling around. I was able to concentrate on it fully. I didn't say anything, but I made a resolution that from that day onwards until the end of my life, whether it be at the age of 70 or 80 or whatever, I would try to practice with a constant appreciation, not allow my efforts to slacken or my faith to weaken, to be consistent. That is an extremely difficult task, and I didn't dare to tell anyone else. People came and went, and I said nothing. I merely watched impassively. But in my mind, I was thinking, they don't see clearly.